You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. And what I'd like to do is add, in the light of the conference, we had two sessions on our thinking of the inside is necessary for a good working on the outside, and the outside requires the inside. So this is sort of a third thing, with the hope that it helps you with the first two. So, in the light of the Gospel of John, telling us about whom? About God. How is God going to express himself in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea? So when we come to John, you know this, I just want to put it in front of you. If you lose this part, you can't connect to the next part easily. So I'm just reminding us, myself. John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, in the light of that, verse 14, the Word was made flesh, became born in Bethlehem, Judea, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God, in his infinite nature, being, essence, took on a human house. And that's what he did. He literally was born, and we've shared before all those things. The little babe in Bethlehem in a manger, as it were, God, who is awesome, cried. He limited himself to crying. And we have it. And the baby cried. Now, that's God. God where? In a baby. God where? In a man. God in a man. Hang on to the God-man. So God, here we are, the God you're beyond. Everything is in the middle of you, all of the universes, etc. And God, everything is in the middle of you, and you went and put your wonderful essence, nature, being in a human being born in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, you did that with all the other stuff that we did, things that we did. John chapter 1, verse 12. Remember now, verse 11, he came to the Jews, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then you go, but everyone didn't want him, the Jews didn't want him, but anyone, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege, to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So they were given. Everyone could receive. Now, God, you died on the cross. That's what you had to do for us, and that's what you did. And the man, Christ Jesus. How could God die? Well, he can't die, but the man could. And Christ, in his perfect humanity, died on the cross. And that's why we're able to, because God in Christ is able to say to you, as many as received him. God made it possible for us as our Lord and because of our Lord to have a unique relationship to himself. In order to help us, God did the chapters of the outworking in the chapters of the Gospel of John to what? Help us understand that God was really in the man. And the man was telling the truth about God. He was telling the truth about God by telling the truth about man. Man, as we shared in all of that, God made man for himself. Animals are all like the instinct and all of that, but God made man, humans, for him to find himself, so that when humans are there, humans give God visibility. Christ gives God visibility, because you can't see God. And God did that. And so therefore, God is making it possible for God to fulfill his original design, made in his image and likeness, to be like a mirror, as we shared in the conference, to be able to enjoy and for God to show his wonderful person. And how could God do that? By going to the cross and dying. Now, back to the thought, God, are you going to demonstrate, and he is, what does it mean for God to be in a person? Therefore, if we can, over if you would please, for time's sake, John chapter 5. You know what? I just want to keep it in front of you, though, so that it's connecting in the light of what you're looking at. You're looking at, is the man able to truly possess God? And in what manner does he do so? How does he do so? Genesis 1, 26, 27, he is to enjoy a unique, God is to enjoy a unique relationship to the human being that he has created. And the human being is to be able to go, and God is going to show himself in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore, chapter 5, picking up if I can, I'll do verse 18 for a little context. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father. And the Jews now, we aren't talking about Gentiles, we're talking about very keen Jews. Jews, this is their whole life. God is God, and not idols, and not other religion, it's God. So what are they saying? Well, they're very looking at him. And you know, the end of verse 18, God said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. And then the Lord Jesus, he said, I know you guys say that about me, but let me tell you what the truth is. I am to tell the truth about God by telling the truth about man. Why were you created? Verse 19. Jesus answered, and then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. So, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So, if you aren't totally independent at all. No, you're totally dependent. In other words, the Father's calling the shots. You represent the Son, perfect humanity of Christ, represents God. And whatever God, his will, his word, his way, he represents that. That's why he's created. That's what God created him, for being able to enjoy and know God in a most wonderful way. And in verse 17, go back up if you like, but Jesus answered them, My Father worketh, and hitherto, and I work, so that in his perfect humanity, he enjoyed coming and going and being everywhere, doing everything to be done in such a way that God was found in a man. And you could find God in the man. Now, keep going over to verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And, by the way, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create me for me to be me. God created me for him to be him. For God to be him. If it's about us, that's the flesh. Hang on to that. Then it isn't about us. And that's why God said, no flesh shall what? Glory in my presence. It isn't about you. We think it's all about us. No, it isn't about us. That's because we act independently of God. Now, having said that, keep going to help us. Over, if you would, to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, may I pick up, please, in thought, over to verse 38, always in the light of the context, but in order to just get the flavor of it, John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down, said the Lord, from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. His whole purpose is to, I do nothing of myself, and my whole thing is to serve the will of God. That's why, he would say in the garden before his crucifixion, not my will, but thy will be done. It isn't about my will, it's about your will. Now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 57, 5:7. And in 5:7, as the living Father has sent me, and I live, how do you live? By the Father. So he that eateth me, and even he shall live by my flesh. How did you win? Lord, how did you do it? My whole life was God, the uncreated life of God in the perfect humanity of Christ, enjoyed a perfect relationship to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could, John 1:12, receive him. Because we don't have it. How are we going to get? We don't have anything. All we get is bankruptcy. Now, God, that's why you died, so that you could do something for us. The sin had to be paid for. Now, having said that, over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, verse 28. Then said, chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then, crucifixion, then you shall know that I am he. I'm going to die and rise again. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And, verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him, because I tell the truth about God by telling the truth about why I'm created. Why am I a human? Why did God create us humans? Over to chapter 10. In chapter 10, and you would recall, if I can then start, in verse chapter 10, picking up, verse 36, 10 and 36. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and set apart, that's the Lord, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I'm not representing the Father, then I'm misrepresenting why I was created. And so if I'm talking about myself, you know I'm way off track. But I don't talk about myself. I talk about the God who created me in his most wonderful way. Hang on. That's what God did for us now. And picking up verse 38, and when I'm talking, I am that I am, and if I'm talking, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know, my works and my words, that you may know and believe ye that the Father is in me and I in him. That's what I want you to know. I want you to know I represent God in a most awesome and wonderful way. So God is within the wonderful person, humanity of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God sets him apart and gives all of the wonderful power to the perfect humanity of Christ, which is his assignment, the Spirit of God's assignment. Now, having said that, and having received him, and looking to this, and the God does all of these things. So now, in the light of that, God the Son is bearing witness to his wonderful person, his Creator, God. And now, God, hear what you died on the cross, Lord, and you said if we were to receive you as our Savior. Now, A, I'm going to be without. I never received Christ. I'm an unsaved, make-believe unsaved. And here's God. I'm always in the presence of God. I never can be out of the presence of God. We did that in Sunday school on Sunday. You never can be out of the presence of God. So what are we going to do? Well, are we conscious of the presence of God? No. Are we even going to talk about it, think about it? We're going to look at the flowers. Where'd the flowers go? We had beautiful flowers here. They couldn't just have died, did they? Wow. God, we look, and we don't see you, and we don't talk about you, and we don't bother with you. In fact, like in the days of Noah, we just live our lives godless. We don't pay attention to you. You're in a different wavelength, FM, we're on AM, everything, and we just don't connect, God. So now, but if I receive the Lord as my Savior, and I come to know the Lord as my Savior, my sins are forgiven, and God has given me his wonderful person by the Spirit of God, and God, the God who died on the cross in his perfect humanity, is able now to come to our little heart and save us, and he does. So God comes into my heart, your heart, and we become his child, his son, a unique relationship to God. Now, having said that, that's real. Now, here's God. If I don't know, I just received him, and I already know what he's going to do. He's going to duplicate what he did in the Lord Jesus who died for me, my Savior. He's going to do the same thing in me. So when I received him as my Savior, my whole world's going to change because I'm going to go from darkness to light, from death to life. And that's what's going to happen. My whole world's going to change. I understand. I'm awake. I'm awake. My eyes were blind. Now I see. And I see. And what I see is all foreign to me, but I see it, and I therefore have to absorb it because I'm not used to seeing. I'm not used to living like this. Now, so here we are in the God, and you do this for us in a most wonderful way. And therefore, God, if I don't trust you, if I don't realize this, I'm saved, and I read the Bible, and I'm trying to pray, and do whatever, but all of it, if I don't realize what just happened to me, then, and why it happened, because God came into my life so that he could fulfill Genesis 1, 26 and 27, made in his image and likeness, that he could fulfill that and make it happen. That's what I'm designed for. Now, having said that, so God, here we are looking to you, and I can't put that together. It just doesn't work. Because I'm in the presence of God, thank God for that, and I'm going to look to God to help me and to do whatever, and God, and you know, and I have an old nature that I have to discover and learn all about it in a new way, to see it differently, to think about it differently, and therefore I'm going to go, and whether I'm reading the Bible or even preaching, whatever I do, praying, and I'm doing it, but I'm not realizing that God, when I received Christ, that's an act, and you didn't have a big feeling in your left elbow when it happened, you know. It just did something, and you did it. There's some. It's a silly illustration, perhaps. You could take a little pill, even if you have trouble swallowing. Just a little pill that's going to go and do wondrous things for your whatever you need. And you're going to take that little pill, and that little pill, you won't even know it. It's been there in the mouth, and the next thing you know, it's gone down your esophagus, into your stomach, etc. and actually you don't have a great feeling. You don't have anything. It's just a little pill. You didn't even know you took it. But that little pill does a wondrous thing, and all of a sudden, in a matter of what, a little bit, you feel better. Now, when we get saved, we ought to understand God does a wonderful thing, and we know we're supposed to know it, and that's what God wants us to know, that we're saved because of who he is and what he did. And therefore, we're going to look to God, but if I'm praying and doing everything, and I'm doing it, I don't realize that. I forgot that. I forget all about it, because I'm used to being me in my old nature. I'm used to handling life and coming and going. I'm used to doing that. And so therefore, I don't have God. But God's out there, and I'm reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I do all of these wonderful things. Now, over, if you would, just to see it, over to Philippians. And in, picking up if I can, you'll get the flavor of Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to do a little exercise for you. Now, we're going to follow as I do it, in chapter 4 and in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, said Paul, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content, to be fully sufficient, satisfied, and everything else I have. And I know both how to be abased and how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I've learned. But now, and then I'm going to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I'm looking, I read that. That's awesome, especially verse 13. The other I didn't get too much because I'm looking at it without God. And I'm saved. And I'm saved. I'm trusting. I'm looking. But I'm not conscious of what it means to be saved. I'm not conscious of that. I'm used to my world, my humanity, how I live, think and do. I'm used to that. So when I read, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Here's, I'm in the presence of God who said it and makes all of it possible. But you know what? I'm waiting to get strength to do all things. What's wrong with me? I'm doing it without God. And whatever God requires God to do it. And I'm doing it without God. And that's how most believers live their life. So they don't know. Let me do some more. You get the idea of it. Verse 19, while you're right here. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, really? Wow, isn't that great? Now, let's see you go live a week believing that and enjoying God meeting your need. Really? You aren't even conscious of it until it comes up. And then you become very conscious that God just ahead of you. Wow. But you know what? I read it. I believe it. But I'm trying to do it without God. I'm not conscious of God. I'm conscious of me. I know I'm saved. But I'm disconnected in the sense, practically, I'm not doing it with God. I'm doing it for me, with me. That's why the Lord said, I do nothing of myself. If I do it of myself, it's not of God. Now, having said that, I think you're getting the idea. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's wonderful. It's true. Lord, here you are, you're my shepherd. And I'm trying to figure out, as I go down to work, home, school, coming and going, I'm trying to figure out, you're my shepherd, God. How are you my shepherd? Because I'm trying to figure out how God's going to shepherd me today. And it's all about, oh boy, am I sincere as can be. But you know what? I'm doing it without God. And when I understand that, I need to understand it because nothing's going to happen. When I'm all done, and watch, the Lord is my shepherd. By the time you get in your car and get to the work, home, school, whatever you're doing, it's all gone. It was a nice thought. What happened to it? It evaporated because it can't stay. How can it stay? We're going to try, and we could even have a lot of oomph in us and try to hang on to it to noontime, even maybe longer. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in the light of that. Now, I gave you the first illustration on saved. Forget that. I gave you the second illustration of being saved, and that's what I tried to fumble out in the conference a little bit. Not very well, but I tried to. Once I get going, you're making me just relax and float along here. But anyway, so now, the third thing, what on earth are we supposed to be doing? God, I'm supposed to know and realize that God, I received a unique personal relationship to God in my head and in my heart. And that's what happened. A relationship to God. Now, I'm right here in Philippians. You're still there. Why not? Go over with me to Philippians chapter 2. You're going to see it in all kinds of ways and places. Philippians chapter 2. And you will note, remember now, what we're looking, we're working. Remember the Lord said, I do nothing of myself. I go every day up and down the land, healing and doing all kinds of things. I'm ultimately going to the cross and rise again. I'm doing all of that. But I'm all doing that in a very wonderful way, being related to Almighty God, who's doing the works in me, who's giving me the words, who's giving me the safety. He's giving me everything in his perfect humanity. Now, so here's Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12, the end. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We shared that the other day here. And the reason, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And once you lose that, I'm going to work out my salvation. You better put the next part of it in there. I can only work out being saved as I let God do a work in my heart. God in me. I'm in the presence of God. And all of the wonderful promises and truths and everything out here, all of those are authenticated and validated and made real by God in me. It's his word. He said it. He confirms it. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to what? Outwork the wonderful life of Jesus Christ in you. That's his ministry. Whose ministry? God's. God's ministry. If I lose that, it is God which worketh in you, verse 13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Go over right next door, Ephesians, and in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. And you... It's all said all the time, but are we catching it? I'm trying to help you learn to catch what we do as humans. It's how we do things. And we don't even look. It's part of our nature. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 3, may I pick up, please, directly in verse 20. And to know, verse 20, and now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask, more than we can ask. That's why you ask anything in my name, what? I'll do it. If you don't ask me, because you couldn't dream up what I could do. That's why if you ask anything, my Bob, you can't ask God, you aren't going to do anything we say. No, he wants you to desire, volition. God, I want your will. God, here I am in your presence. I want your will. And here you are, God, connecting. Make it work. I have great assurance. Because what he's saying out here and his presence, which I can't see visually. I'm in his presence, though, no matter how I cut the cookie. So here I am, God, and you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And God, I have the... Why? Because God made us a new creature in Christ, and verse 20, to do exceeding abundantly all they ask or think, according to the power that worketh. What kind of dynamite, power, ability? It's in us. I don't have to look for it down the street. I don't have to go and hope it'll come from the outer space somewhere on my way to school or work or something or whatever I got to do. I hope it'll come. I don't have to hope it'll come. It is. It's out. God omnipotent. But God omnipotent is in your heart. And once you lose that, then you're trying to be omnipotent. And you can't be. You can't even come close. So, the flesh, no flesh shall what? Glory in his presence. We say it. We quote it. It's one. It's true. But we don't connect it. We didn't connect it to anything. Do it another way that may help you. And by the way, without getting into all of that, different direction, and think of Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 16, where Jacob had his wonderful experience, and then he didn't know it. He didn't know it. And then he woke up and said, of a truth, God was in this place, and I knew it not. And then his next statement, it's a dreadful place to find you're in the presence of God, to awaken your brain and your heart. You're in the presence of God, who's in charge of everything. See? God's in charge of it. So when we're learning about his attributes, his nature, that's very important, because that's the God I live in the middle of. So while the world is busy doing what it's doing and all over the place, no question. But the one who's over it all is my God. And I know what he can do, what he doesn't do, how he does, why he does a little bit. So we're learning. And why do I have that comfort? Because in here. You know, if you took time to do that, we can't. But if you did Psalm 42 again, and then verse 3 and verse 10 and that, and remember the Psalm, we did all those little things. And the world says, the Gentiles say to the believing heart, struggling through life, and they want to know not what church you go to, they don't care about your religion, they want to know, where is your God? Remember? Where is your God? Do you, Philippians, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I may not have it right. I better look at that. Better look, because maybe I'd get it wrong. First Peter, and in chapter 3, what do you know? First Peter chapter 3, and what are we doing? Where is your God? Where is your God, says the psalmist? And 105, Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens doing whatever he wants to do. And our God, we're very conscious of God. We ought to be very conscious of God. And when people want to know where is our God, then we go, think of 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart, regard as wonderfully holy, and be consecrated and concentrated. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify whom? God. Where? In your heart. Not outside and not down the street. And that's our problem. I try to say that. I know it is. I hear all the dumb problems of the kingdoms and all the amillennials and all the stuff going on. No question. And the churches are trying to help each other and care and not have to worry about things. if you just get your act right in your head and heart, everything is answered. Do you understand? It doesn't mean you understand everything. It means that you have over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, picking up if I can, that Corinthians, they needed to wake up. It took a letter and then another letter, another admonition to them to try to get things together in the Corinthian local church. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, and in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, encouragement, etc." So God, if I go to the second illustration, I'm saved, but I don't understand God. I'm not even counting on that. God, the God of all comfort. God, you got to comfort me. Comfort me. I'm in pain and headache and heartache, and the world is in trouble, and my job and everything. Wow, got to comfort me. I'm ready to be encouraged. And you're here, God. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the encouragement to come. I can't wait too long because it's raining. Now, here we are. Now, if I understand God's in me, that's what this is about. And you read the next verse. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are being comforted of God. And therefore, God, what are you doing? We are going to go for verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, comfort, also abound us." So as we go through whatever, God is inside comforting. God, the God of all comfort. How far do I have to find the comforter? I don't. The comforter is, I walk with him. I go with him, the comforter. I don't need to find a comforter. I don't even need to move. I just need to what? Believe and trust with thanksgiving. And it's there. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm in the presence of God. I have to move at all. Nope. And the God of all comfort. If I don't have that understood, God's in my heart. If I don't understand that, boy, I'm busy trying to, looking for somebody to say something encouraging to me, will you? Ever hear that? No. He's the God of all comfort. And I need to look to him for that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Over to the end of 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. And you know, for the encouragement for you and me, and you note, before I read that, though, I remind you of 2 Timothy 3 and 5. What is the condition of the age we live in? We aren't living in Antioch when the early church is formed and there's great excitement. And remember, they didn't have a Bible. They only had the Old Testament, some of them. That's all they had. And they didn't have all the awesome things were taking place. And do you know what? All they had to do was believe, and they were so excited about believing God. God gave them gave them powers and gifts, and that's why they could do everything. And God took care of them. Why? Because they were trusting God, the same as what we do. That's what you want to do to survive. You look to God. Where is he? I hope you're saved then. He's here. And the people that are looking for him to take care of everything, he's in them to take care of it. Does that make sense to you? He's in them to take care of it. Well, I don't have to find God, move. He doesn't have to move. I have to move in my heart and head to trust him. And therefore, and you have the same thing in Titus, and if you Titus in chapter 1, 15 or whatever it is in there, and in the Titus there, what are you going to say, Titus? Well, they have and seek to talk about God and work about God and do all the things, and they want to say, I love God and I'm with God, but in works they what? They deny him. They talk about a lot, God, I know him, and God, we're trusting it, yay for God. Titus 1, but you don't even know him. You don't even know him. But boy, are we good at talking about it. We're good. Preaching, praying, writing, we're good at it. And what has it done us? We have more wonderful literature, more wonderful stuff to search and understand better and better and better. And we're worse off than ever, aren't we? With all the stuff, we have more apostasy. It's hard to, as you just did with the conference, as you guys did, with dispensations that did. Who wants to understand? We're in the kingdom. Everything's going to come out nice. If it isn't going to come out nice, it's going to come out the way we want it to. Anyway, I can't get into that, but you got the idea. So therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, closing, verse 5. Examine yourselves for what? Whether you be in the faith, the body of truth, to be believed. Prove, put yourself to the test. Know you not, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, unapproved. When tested, he isn't there. But I said he was there. But when we look, he isn't there. I preached it. I taught it. But he's not there. He's not there. And that's how the Corinthian ends. See? Well, now God, so why? Because, I can't do all that. I got to quit. But if you read 1 John and all of that, you know, 1 John 2 and 22 and all that, what do you know? He's Antichrist that denies the Father and the what? Denies the Father and the Son. They're this. How can you have the Son without the Father? How can you have the Spirit of God without the Son? How can you have God? When you get saved, you get God. God isn't piecemeal. You get the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, God. And God in his wonderful person going to do what he's going to do because he's God. And we're in his presence. All right. That's my afterthought. It isn't hard. It's just we aren't caught up in it. We're caught up in everything out here. And in our little biblical, not you guys, but the biblical knowledge is like this. And our worldly, fleshly is understandably like this. And so when you try to get us down to this thing without expanding it and pounding away at it, you're never going to get it. Because it isn't. That's why the churches don't change. That's why it keeps going downhill. There is no need to fix anything. The music and worship and the whole thing. We don't have a sense of God. I got to quit. I appreciate your patience. That's part 3, if you could. I hope it helped.